infrastructure gaps in Australia causes three sets of problems, and one is on the productivity side. And there's no doubt if roads move faster, if airports are more efficient, if railways are more efficient, the economy is stronger. So it's very good to be calling for more infrastructure for improved productivity purposes. I think the second thing we sometimes lose sight of is the environmental side. And a classic example is the fact that if you've got slow-moving trucks and cars, they consume a lot more fuel, pollution is higher, and that sort of stuff. So actually spending on infrastructure, although it sounds a bit strange, improves the environment. And the third thing we shouldn't lose sight of is the social side. And we all hate being stuck in traffic. We all hate long queues at the airport. And the fact that our cities are becoming less livable because of that, I think is a very important social factor. So there are three good reasons for me why we should really worry about infrastructure and be very concerned that its performance and levels of productivity and so on are so low relative to some years ago. It's a very important aspect of infrastructure we sometimes lose sight of is the social side. And I was coming into work this morning, and the main road at Melbourne University, Grattan Street, as you know, it runs for about a kilometre and a half from the gardens down to the Melbourne Hospital. There are 10 sets of traffic lights along that kilometre or thereabouts. And they're not synchronised, so stop-start all the way down. And that's a classic example of environmental damage that's been caused by stop-start traffic, and of course the social frustration of spending the extra time in traffic. But there's lots of simple things that we can do. In Europe, in the United States for instance, you come to a red light and you can make a left-hand turn after coming to a stop if it's clear. Now, some of those simple things we could bring in, no cost, they would improve traffic flows and bring all these sort of benefits that we get from improved infrastructure. So, no, it's not just airports and ports and things like that. There are simple things we can do on the roads to improve their amenity. But I think part of it we brought on ourselves as voters, that every time the government talks about borrowing money or going into deficit, we get all hysterical about it. And the only way to build a road that's got a 40-year life or a port with a 40-year life is to borrow the money now and to spend it. Now, changes in accounting rules have helped that a little bit, but I think if we were a bit less hysterical as a sort of voting public, if you like, recognise the need for prudent borrowing. And the flip side, of course, is if we had a better conceived, longer-term planning infrastructure from the government, that would improve it. And I think we're starting to see a bit of that now at both the state and federal level. More sensible, longer-term planning, putting together a coherent program for infrastructure spending, and I think voters will be much more willing to allow debt to be built up for that. Public-private partnerships allow governments not to take on the debt for building infrastructure, and that can be very attractive, but it means somebody else takes it on. And if you've got a government that can borrow really as cheaply as anybody else can, and it's asking somebody else to do the borrowing, then we as taxpayers are paying more for it. So I'm not a fan of public-private partnerships, and I think it's kind of good that the governments now have downplayed that a bit and are more willing to take on the debt themselves and be constructive in terms of constructing things.